Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor by Avram Goldar, and today we're in Sukkah Sukkah, Daf Yud Tes, the first parak, Sukkah Shehi Gavoa. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Atana Tat, Psal HaYotzei Min HaSukkah Nidun KaSukkah. Psal, referring to schach that sticks out of the sukkah, is treated like a sukkah. The Gemara provides four interpretations for what this is referring to. Ula said, Kanim HaYotzei Min HaAchrei Sukkah. This refers to sticks of schach that extend behind the sukkah. After the Gemara clarifies that the case is where there are three walls around the protruding side, it has the minimum shear of a sukkah, and the shade is greater than the sunlight. The Gemara says that the purpose of teaching this is that one might have thought that since its walls were initially for the interior of the main sukkah and were not made for the extension, which is outside, one could argue that the extension does not have valid walls. The Brisa is coming to teach us that it is valid. Rabbah and Rav Yosef both said they were dealing with sticks of schach that protruded in front of the sukkah, and one wall extends along with them. You might have said, Ha-Leisle Heksher Sukkah, that doesn't have the requirements of a valid sukkah. The Brisa is teaching us that it is valid since the protruding section is not regarded as separate from the sukkah. Two more pshatim are given. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Osu Sukkasu Kamin Srif. If one makes a sukkah like a conical hut, O Shesmach Lakoso, or he leaned it against the wall, Rabbi Gazer rules in either case that it's possible because it has no roof. The Chamin ruled that it is kosher. Now, it was taught in a brisa, Rabbi Gazer agrees that if he raised the sukkah that leaned against the wall a tefach off the ground, or distanced it a tefach from the wall and supported it with pegs, that it is kosher. Rashi explains that the rule of Lavid allows us to view the gap as a solid horizontal surface fit to serve as part of the sukkah's roof. The horizontal tefach-wide gap is adequate even though it doesn't have the dimensions of schach and is even comprised of materials that are not valid for schach. As long as the sukkah appears to have a roof, a portion of the sloping surface which is comprised of valid material can be combined with a gap to form the schach. The Chamin permit the two cases in the Mishnah because they hold Shipuei Olim Ka'olim Damu, that sloping roofs are regarded as roofs, meaning they have the status of horizontal surfaces. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Machatzelos Kanim Gadoa, the halacha of a large reed mat is as follows. Asel Shchiva Makabelos Tumav Ein Masachim Ba. If one made it for reclining purposes, its Makabel Tumah cannot be used as Chach, but if he made it for covering a sukkah, he may cover a sukkah with it, and it is not Makabel Tumah. Rabbi Eliezer says that whether the mat is small or large, if he made it for shchiva, it's makabel tuma, and we may not cover a sukkah with it, but if he made it for covering a sukkah, we may use it as a cover, and it is not makabel tuma. Rashi points out that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is more compelling since the explicit designation of the one who produced the mat should determine its status, regardless of its size. The Gemara will go through an extensive analysis of their machlokas. So once again, the 3 points are number one, Atana Tat, Psal HaYotzei Min HaSukkah Nidun KaSukkah, Psal, referring to schach, that sticks out of the sukkah, is treated like a sukkah. The Gemara provides four pshatim for what this is referring to. Ula said, Kanim HaYotzei Min HaAchrei Sukkah. This refers to sticks of schach that extend behind the sukkah. After the Gemara clarifies that the case is where there are three walls around the protruding side, it has the minimum shear of a sukkah, and the shade is greater than the sunlight. The Gemara says that the purpose of teaching this is that one might have thought that since its walls were initially for the interior of the main sukkah and were not made for the extension, which is outside, one could argue that the extension does not have valid walls. The Brice is coming to teach us that it is valid. Rabbah and Rav Yosef both said they were dealing with sticks of schach that protrude in front of the sukkah, and one wall extends along with them. You might have said, Ha-Leisle Heksher Sukkah, that it doesn't have the requirements of a valid sukkah. The Brisa is teaching us that it is valid since the protruding section is not regarded as separate from the sukkah. Two more interpretations are given. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Osu Sukkasu Kamin Srif. If one makes a sukkah like a conical hut, Osha Smach Lakoso, or he leaned it against the wall, Rabbi Yezer rules in either case that it is possible because it has no roof. The Chamin ruled that it is kosher. Now, it was taught in a brisa that Rabbi Yezer agrees that if he raised the sukkah that leaned against the wall, a tefach off the ground, or distanced it, a tefach from the wall, and supported it with pegs, that it is kosher. Rashi explains that the rule of Lavid allows us to view the gap as a solid horizontal surface fit to serve as part of the sukkah's roof. The horizontal tefach-wide gap is adequate even though it doesn't have the dimensions of schach and is even comprised of materials that are not valid for schach. As long as the sukkah appears to have a roof, a portion of the sloping surface, which is comprised of valid material, can be combined with the gap to form the schach. The Chamin permit the two cases in the Mishnah because they hold Shipuei Olim Ka'olim Damu, that sloping roofs are regarded as roofs, meaning that they have the status of horizontal surfaces. And pointing between the next Mishnah states, Machatzelos Kanim Gadol, the halach of a large reed mat is as follows. Asel Shchiva Makabelos Tumah Ve'en Masachim Ba. If one made it for reclining purposes, it is makabel tumah and cannot be used as schach. But if he made it for covering a sukkah, he may cover a sukkah with it, and it is not makabel tumah. Rabbi Yezer says that whether the mat is small or large, if he made it for shechiva, it's makabel tumah, and we may not cover a sukkah with it. But if he made it for covering a sukkah, we may use it as a sukkah, and it is not makabel tumah. Rashi points out that Rabbi Yezer's opinion is more compelling, since the explicit designation of the one who produced the mat should determine its status, regardless of its size. The Gemara will go through an extensive analysis of their machlokas. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Yud Tes, and our standard simmon is a yacht. A yacht. So here goes. The adults on the Chol HaMoed yacht trip enjoyed sitting on deck in the shade under the psul that protruded outside the sukkahs, while the kids playing hide-and-go-seek hid in the sukkah that leaned against the wall, and in another one that had small reed mats that were typically for reclining. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Yud Tes, and our standard simmon is a yacht. A yacht. So here goes. The adults on the Chol HaMoed yacht trip enjoyed sitting on deck in the shade under the psal that protruded outside the sukkahs, while the kids playing hide-and-go-seek hid in the sukkah that leaned against the wall, and in another one that had small reed mats that were typically for reclining. Once again, in slow motion. The adults on the Chol HaMoed yacht trip, that must be one of Yud Tes. The adults on the Chol HaMoed yacht trip enjoyed sitting on deck in the shade under the psal that protruded outside the sukkahs, which reminds us, a ton of top psal yotz min a sukkah, nidun kasukkah. Psal, referring to schach that sticks out of the sukkah, is treated like a sukkah. Ula said this refers to sticks of schach that extend behind the sukkah, and one might have thought that since his walls were initially for the interior of the main sukkah and were not made for the extension, which is outside, one could argue the extension does not have valid walls. The Bryce is coming to teach that it is valid. Rabbi Rav Yosef said they were dealing with sticks of schach that protrude in front of the sukkah, and one wall extends along with it. You might have said that it doesn't have the requirements of a valid sukkah. The Bryce is teaching us that it's valid since the protruding section is not regarded separate from the sukkah. Two more interpretations are given. So the adults on the Chol HaMoed yacht trip enjoyed sitting on deck in the shade under the psal that protruded outside the sukkahs, while the kids playing hide-and-go-seek hid in the sukkah that leaned against the wall. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ha'osa sukkaso k'min srif, if one makes a sukkah like a conical hut, or shesmach l'koso, or he leaned it against a wall, Rabbi Eliezer rules in either case that it's possible because it has no roof. The Chami rule that it's kosher because they hold, shipua olim ko'olim damu, sloping roofs are considered roofs. It was taught in a brace, Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if he raised a sukkah that leaned against the wall, a tefach off the ground, or distanced it a tefach from the wall and supported it with pegs, then it is kosher. So the adults on the Chol HaMoed yacht trip enjoyed sitting on deck in the shade under the psal that protruded outside the sukkahs, while the kids playing hide-and-go-seek hid in the sukkah that leaned against the wall, and in another one that had small reed mats that were typically for reclining. Which reminds the next mission introduced to Malchus being the Chami and Rabbi Eliezer regarding when large and small mats, machasalos, can be used as chach. So once again, the adults on the Chol HaMoed yacht trip enjoyed sitting on deck in the shade under the psal that protruded outside the sukkahs, while the kids playing hide-and-go-seek hid in the sukkah that leaned against the wall, and in another one that had small reed mats that were typically for reclining. All right, now it's time for a four-blah-back chazara. Dav Tezvav. So the simon Dav Tezvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. The fruit bowl display fruit bowl. That must mean we're in Dav Tezvav. The fruit bowl display in the sukkah came crashing down when one bacher loosening the boards on top started shaking them, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states that Tikrash Ein Olehem Azeva, a roof of boards that has no plaster on it. Rav Yehuda says that Beisham and Beisola disagree over what must be done to render it kosher as chach. Beisham says, Mefakbek Venota Achzbeim time. One loosens the board because of Tazvo Minasui and takes out one board from between every two boards because he holds of Gezeris Tikra. Beisola say, Mefakbek Onota Achzbeim time. One loosens them or takes one board from between every two boards because he doesn't hold of Gezeris Tikra, and therefore only one of the two methods is necessary to overcome the problem that they were originally placed there for a house. Rav Meir says, no to achas memin time, be'enu mefakbek. Rav Meir, as we learn, holds that four spalking boards are possible for schach and need to be replaced with kosher schach, and once that is done, no other action is necessary. So the fruit bowl display in the sukkah came crashing down when one bacher loosening the boards on top started shaking them, as another one knocks them over while inserting metal spits. Which reminds the next Mishnah states that one who makes a roof over a sukkah with spits or with the sides of the bed, if there is space between them as wide as the items themselves, and he fills the gaps with kosher schach, the sukkah is kosher. And the Gemara suggests that the Mishnah is not in accordance with Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, who holds parts go omer aser. The Gemara answers that Rav Huna would say that the Mishnah means a case of bitnikness v'yotze, where a spit would go in and out of each gap easily, meaning the gaps are wider than the spits. Rava answers that the Mishnah can even be a case where the gaps were not enlarged slightly more than the width of the spits. Rather, if the spits were placed lengthwise, then he placed the valid schach crosswise across the top of the spits. And if he placed the spits crosswise, he placed the valid schach lengthwise. In these cases, the valid schach will exceed the puzzle spits. So the fruit bowl display in the sukkah came crashing down when one bacher loosening the boards on top started shaking them. as another one knocks him over while inserting metal spits and tossing over some old clothes, eschach. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that the sides of a bed are not valid eschach, and the Gemara suggests that this supports the opinion of Rabbi Ami bar Tavyum, who said that if one covered his sukkah with worn-out pieces of clothing, the sukkah is pasul, although these pieces of fabric are no longer kelim and should therefore be kosher. The Rabbanan goes that since they were originally part of kelim that were makabel tumah, they cannot be used as eschach. The Gemara deflects his proof, saying that the Mishnah is dealing with a long side of the bed with two short legs, or a short side with two legs, which means these sides of the bed are kelim and are thus pasul for eschach. Daf Tazayin, so the simmer Daf Tazayin is toes. So here goes. The acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes, that must be more on Daf Tazayin. The acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes to haul out a haystack that had a cavity, one tefachad, which reminds us, in the case of a chote begadish, if one hauled out a haystack and there was a cavity, one tefachad, for a length of 7 tefachim, then it is a kosher sukkah. Rush explains that for the straw to meet the definition of schach, it would have to cover an empty space of at least one tefachad, for that's the minimum height of an oath. Therefore, if it also has the length of 7 tefachim, it would meet the requirement of kosher schach, and there would not be an issue of tas velo minasui. Although the cavity needs to be hauled out further to a height of 10 tefachim, that's necessary only in order to make the walls kosher, and the requirement of tas velo minasui does not apply to sukkah walls. So, the acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes to haul out a haystack that had a cavity, one tefachai, landed with 1 foot under a mechitza tluya, which reminds us. In the next mission, Rabbi Yossi holds that if one constructs sukkah walls from the top down, then even if a wall is 3 tefachim above the ground or higher, it's kosher, for he maintains that a mechitza tluya is materis, a suspended partition is a kosher mechitza. A similar case from Erevin is brought, where Rabbi Yudah rules that in the case of a cistern between two chetzeros, the wall running over the cistern should act as mechitza to legally divide the water, even if it doesn't enter the cistern's cavity, and suggests that Rabbi Yudah's ruling is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who holds mechitza tluya materis in the case of the sukkah. And so to hear the wall going over the cistern, which is a mechitza tluya, is considered a full wall. The Gemara rejects the suggestion, pointing out that perhaps Rabbi Yudah would only apply the principle to a derabbanan, such as Erevin, but not to a deraisa, such as sukkah, and perhaps Rabbi Yossi would only apply to a sukkah, which is an iser ase, but not to a matter of Shabbos, which is an iser skila. So the acrobat who did continuous backflips using his toes to haul out a haystack that had a cavity, one tefachai, landed with 1 foot under a mechitza tluya, and the other under a suspended mat that was 4 tefachim and a bit in size. Which reminds us, Machetzelos arbo mashu materis basukum mishum dofen, a mat whose width is 4 tefachim and a bit and is suspended midway between the schach and the ground with a gap of less than 3 tefachim below it and a gap of less than 3 tefachim above it, is a kosher wall because any gap less than 3 tefachim wide is treated as though it were closed based on lavud. The Gemara explains that one might have thought chad lavud amrin trei lavud lo amrin, that we apply the law of lavud to extend a mechitza once, but not to apply lavud to extend it twice. Rav Chisda therefore teaches that we apply lavud twice to the same mechitza. Daf Yud Zayin. So the simmer Daf Yud Zayin is a used car salesman. So here goes. The used car salesman. That must be run Daf Yud Zayin. The used car salesman who sold used sukkahs on the side with airspace and pasul schach, which reminds us that the Talmudim of Rav said in the name of Rav, Avir posel b'shlosha schach pasul posel b'arba. A strip of open airspace is posel sukkah when it's 3 tefachim wide, and a strip of invalid schach posels a sukkah when it's 4 tefachim wide. When Rav challenged them based on the Mishnah that teaches that if the roof of a house is breached in the center and one places schach on top of it, if there's a distance of 4 amos between the wall and the house and the schach, the sukkah is pasul, which implies that a gap narrower than 4 amos does not disqualify, the Talmidim answered him that halach is based on Dovan Akuma, in which less than 4 amos invalid schach can be viewed as part of a bent wall. Their ruling of 4 tefachim concerns pasul schach in the middle of the sukkah. So the used car salesman who sold used sukkahs on the side with airspace and pasul schach tried to convince the shopper not to take the one with airspace next to less than 4 tefachim of fabric, which reminds the Rebbe posed another challenge that when there's a case of a strip of pasul schach less than 4 tefachim wide in the middle of the sukkah, and next to it there's a strip of open space less than 3 tefachim wide, the sukkah is kosher because there's not enough pasul schach to invalidate. Yet, if one filled the open space with spits or other pasul schach, the sukkah is pasul because the width of the invalid material is now at least 4 tefachim. But should not the open space which disqualifies a sukkah when there's just 3 tefachim wide be as potent as pasul schach, which disqualifies a sukkah when 4 tefachim wide? The Talmidim responded that if the question is valid, then Rabbah would have the same challenge in the case of a strip of invalid schach less than 4 amos wide in the middle of a sukkah next to an open space of less than 3 amos wide. So the used car salesman who sold used sukkahs on the side with airspace and pasul schach try to convince the shopper not to take the one with airspace next to less than 4 tefachim of fabric, but to buy the luxury halacha l'moshe m'sinai one with almost 4 amos of fabric instead, since it doesn't combine. which reminds us, the Rebbe responded to the challenge by saying that there's no comparison. According to him, the Mishnah's rule that Dalai Lama's Apostle Schach invalidates the Sukkah is not based on Dofen Akuma, but it is a halakha l'moshe Sinai shear that disqualifies the Sukkah, whether the material is at the side of the Sukkah or in the middle. And this strip of invalid material, which measures 4 amos only when it combines with open space, doesn't have the shear to disqualify Sukkah. For since the shiurim for the invalid Schach and open space are not equal, along with Starfe, they don't combine to make up the requisite minimum. But according to the Talmidim, who state a shear of Dal Tefachim based on original reasoning that the measurement is only significant Mishum HaFaga because of a gap, it's the minimum that constitutes the separation, they must therefore explain what difference it makes whether the separation is made through Pasul Schach alone or through a combination of Pasul Schach and open space. Daf Yud Ches, so the similar Daf Yud Ches is a chuppah. So here goes. When the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah, that must be more on Daf Yud Ches. When the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah as a large sukkah, with 3 tefachim of open space closed in a bit with spits, which reminds us that Abai said that an open space of 3 tefachim in the schach of a large sukkah can be reduced with sticks, which are valid schach, or with spits, which are puzzle, since the gap now lacks the width of 3 tefachim necessary to puzzle the sukkah. However, in a small sukkah, which is only 7 by 7 tefachim, if he reduced it with spits, it is not effective, since the open space and spits together form a gap in the schach of 3 tefachim. Therefore, they're significant enough to be regarded as separate from the schach, and the valid schach lacks the requisite dimensions of 7 by 7 tefachim. So when the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah as a large sukkah, with 3 tefachim of open space closed in a bit with spits, was challenged by his father-in-law whether lavud applies in the middle, which reminds us there's a malchus whether yesh lavud be'emsa. The one who says yesh lavud be'emsa brings a raya from 2 protruding koras, 2 beams in the mavli that don't meet in the middle, but there's less than 3 tefachim between them, and that works. The one who says ain lavud be'emsa brings a raya from tuma opposite a small aruba, a skylight, where the bias is deemed tahor. So when the chassan who proudly designed his chuppah as a large sukkah, with 3 tefachim of open space closed in a bit with spits, was challenged by his father-in-law whether lavud applies in the middle, the kol ran out embarrassed and hid on the porch covered in schach that had no columns. Which reminds us of one place schach on a porch, she'ein lo pitzimin, that does not have columns that are placed at intervals less than 3 tefachim wide. Abai says the sukkah is kosher, amrinim pitikri yord vesosim, because we say that the edge of the roof extends downwards and seals, meaning the edge of each porch, is viewed as extending downward to form the sukkah's requisite partitions. Rava says the sukkah is possible because he holds lo amrinim pitikra yord vesosim. All right, so that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.